free will, which we began last time. Last time we mostly dealt with the question of the seeming contradiction between divine foreknowledge and free will. We focused on three approaches and alluded to an additional three approaches. And I'd like to continue that discussion today, but from a totally different perspective, one which is probably different than almost anything we've been doing this year, and one that relates to the Olam HaNistar, and as such we probably will not fully understand, but nevertheless I think is very valuable. And if you want to take a look, it's on page 100 of your source sheets. We're going to be working on the Mahalech of Reb Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin. Just a brief introduction. I don't know if we've spent too much time discussing this particularly fascinating thinker. He lived from 1823 to 1900. He came from actually a Litvish family, and he was recognized as an Eloi from a young age. At one point, he traveled around and saw many of the Gedolim in Europe, both the Hasidic Gedolim as well as the Litvish Gedolim. He was actually looking for a Heter Meir Rabbanim, but that's a different story. And at that point, he became a Talmud of the Ishbitzer, Rav Mordechai Yosef Liner, and he was a Talmud of the Ishbitzer until he passed away in 1854. Then he became a chassid of Reb Leibler Eger until he passed away in 1888. At that point, his chassidim encouraged him to become their Rebbe, and he eventually did. He didn't publish anything in his lifetime, but after he passed away, many of his writings were published. We have a lot of Kisvei Reb Tzadok, and also others were not published. And when you study his works, they're quite fascinating. Oftentimes they combine both Toras HaNigla and Toras HaNister, if you want. Take a look at, let's say, Takanas HaShavin, and you'll see how he intertwines them. And his writings have been incredibly influential for many of the most important 20th century thinkers. People like Rav Kook, Rav Dessler, Rav Huttner, Rav Gedalia Shor, Rav Moshe Shapiro, all of them are very influenced by Reb Tzadok. And when you learn their Torah and you're familiar with Reb Tzadok, you'll see that is the case. It doesn't mean that they fully adopt or endorse everything that Reb Tzadok said, and Reb Tzadok had some rather controversial views, especially insofar as he's a chassid of the Ishbitzer, and we'll see such a position today. But we'll also see today how many 20th century Balei Machshava really did incorporate many of his ideas. So we're going to begin with a piece here from Tzidkas HaTzadik Os Mem on page 100. And Reb Tzadok begins by discussing a very famous Gemara that Tshuva Me'ava is so great that Zdonos turn into Zchuyos. And of course the question is, what does this mean? We understand how Tshuva can erase our Averos, we can achieve atonement and forgiveness, but how could they become Zchuyos? Some understand that perhaps this means that we build off of our experiences that we've done in the past, even in our veros, to help us come close to Hashem. And Reb Tzadok accepts this, but he really takes it one step further. And more or less, we'll read it inside in a second, but Reb Tzadok answers with a very far-fetched solution, which is that, I don't know, far-fetched, far-reaching solution. Which is that from a certain perspective, and we'll define that perspective shortly, even a person's sins are the will of God. Now that sounds striking. We'll see how there are a number of statements in Chazal that might reflect this. It's an idea that Reb Tzadok attributes to the Arizal. And if you want to take a quick look at one, a couple of lines from the Ari inside first, maybe. The Ari is in Sefer Arba Meo Shekel Kesef, which is on the bottom of page 100 in the footnote. We'll read just a couple lines from the paragraph that begins with Vizeh. Vizeh sod halo ach Esav liyakov neum Hashem vahevis Yaakov. V'chi Hashem yisbarach omer shekamo Yaakov kein Esav. The pasuk here compares Yaakov to Esav. And the Ari asks, how is that possible? Ki kfar he'ida Torah, ki Yaakov ishtam, yosheva olim, ve'esav oved avodazara. V'Hashem yisbarach bocher b'tzadik. V'im kein mao zeh she'amar Hashem yisbarach vahevis Yaakov. Zeh tzadik v'zeh rasha. What's the comparison? Yaakov and Esav are two diametrically different people. One is a tzaddik, one is a rasha. Ela hakavanahi ki limala be'atzilus kimo Yaakov kein Esav. In the world of Atzilus, the upper world, we'll try to define this a little bit in a couple of minutes. So then, in a certain from a certain perspective, Yaakov and Esav are the same. Kisham lo yeshchar va'onesh. In that world, everything is Ratzon Hashem. There's no schar va'onesh. And both Yaakov and Esav are fulfilling the Ratzon Hashem. Okay, what does that mean? Obviously, at first glance, that's a very problematic idea. It could lead to very bad things. A person could sin their whole life and just say, I'm doing Ratzon Hashem. Makes things much easier. You don't have to bother with mitzvos. So, this is an idea that the Ishbitzer has a lot on. But let's take a look at Reb Tzadok. Ikra Tshuva, so this is the top of page 100, who, ad sheyoyer Hashem einav, sheyus donos kishuyos. The Ikra Tshuva is where Hashem allows a person to see that his donos, his averos, are like his chuyos. Rotza lomar, sheyakir v'yavin, shekol ma shechata hu haya gam kein ratzon Hashem yisbarach. That a person recognize and understand that even that which he sinned was also ratzon Hashem. Kemo she'amru zal. Okay, let's before we get there. So, let's explain this. Internalizing this message, the idea that everything is Ratzon Hashem, is not easy. If a person truly believes that nothing else exists besides God, that ein od milvado, so they would never sin, at least in a normal sense, in the first place. So the realization, therefore, goes beyond Tshuva Meira. Tshuva Meira, which is not easy in its own right, demands recognition of the sin, charata, and the like. Tshuva me'ava demands recognizing that ein od milvado, that everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And achieving this is an extraordinarily incredible accomplishment for a sinner, because sinning is a demonstration of our perception of our being independent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yes, Hashem said X, but I am going to do Y because it brings me pleasure, because it makes me feel good. The submission involved in recognizing a person's absolute dependence upon God is therefore an absolute and total transformation from where that person was when he sinned, when he went against the Ratzon Hashem, or at least attempted to do so. And that personal revolution allows a person's sins to be transformed to align with his newfound recognition that everything, in fact, is Ratzon Hashem. Now, this perspective that everything is Ratzon Hashem, even the Averos, reflects a certain perspective on the universe. It's not the only perspective. Another perspective, which is also true and relates more to our human condition, sees sin as a repudiation of the divine will, Hashem said not to do a certain thing, and we chose to do it, and as such, we've gone against Hashem. It's true, Hashem gave us the free will to do so, but he's not pleased with our decision because he told us to do something else. And therefore, from that perspective, we could call that the normal perspective. A person is punished and held accountable for his averos. And to reach the level of tshuva me'av, a person has to have a degree of self-abnegation and do so consistently throughout his life. Let's give a mashal. Let's imagine I fail a math test. I also didn't study for the test. So I don't study for the test. Naturally, I take the test and I fail. And I say, Einon Movado. It's Ratzon Hashem. Good. All right, that was the midterm. For the final, I decide maybe I should study a little. Taka, I study a lot. And I get a good grade. So, wow, hard work really paid off. So obviously, one of the two things that I said, I don't believe. Because if I believed everything is Ratzon Hashem, and that accounts for my failure, that perspective is antithetical to the perspective of my hard work caused me to succeed. Now, in truth, there is validity to both of these perspectives. They're just looking at it from looking at the world differently. And that's the transformation, if it's real, of tshuva me'ava. Now, Reb Tzaduk brings a raya for this from a Gemara in Brachos. Kemosha Amruzal, Shlosha Psukim V'chulei. So we'll read the Gemara inside, which is the next source. When learning Reb Tzaduk assumed a very high degree of scholarship from his readers, and therefore most Gemaras begin with three words, V'chulei, and he expects you to know what the V'chulei is. And if you know the V'chulei, then you'll perhaps appreciate his point. Some of the newer printings of Reb Tzaduk help you out a little bit, and in the footnotes fill in the details. So here's the Gemara he's referring to. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Eliyahu itiach dvarim klapei mala. Eliyahu spoke chutzpahdikly towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenemar, v'ata haseibosa es libam achoranis. You turned their hearts backwards. Meaning to say, Eliyahu tined it against HaKadosh Baruch Hu that it's your fault. The people during the door of Eliyahu, of course, were very sinful. They were over the Avodah Zarah. But Eliyahu said, it's not them, it's you. Amar Reb Shimon Bar Reb Yitzchak, Minayin Shechazar HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'hode l'Eliyahu. How do we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually conceded that Eliyahu was correct? D'chsiv v'asher har'osi. Meaning to say, I have wronged them. I, God, have wronged them. Eliyahu was right. Amar Bichama, Rabbi Chanina, Ilmalei Shalosh Mikros Halalu, Nismotetu Raglehem Shelsonei Yisrael. Were not for these three psukim that imply that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is responsible for our sins, so Klal Yisrael's enemies, which mean us, it's a euphemism, would have slipped. What are they? Chad Dechsev Asher Harosi, the pasuk we just said. V'chad dechsev, hine kechomer biyad hayotzer, kein atem biyadi beis Yisrael. Maybe that's the reason why we keep on quoting this pasuk on Yom Kippur. So we are like chomer biyad hayotzer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes us who we are. V'chad dechsev v'hasirosi es lev ha'aven mibsarchem, v'nasati lachem lev basar. Right now we have a lev Aven, and Hashem can and will replace that with the Lev Basar. Papa Amar Mehacha, Vesuchi Atain Bekir Bechem, Vesisi Eis Asher Bechukai Teilechu. That one day, presumably in Messianic times, I will replace that heart of stone, I will put my spirit in you, and at that point, you'll follow the mitzvos. And all of these psukim echo what Eliyahu Hanavi had said, which is Ata Hasebosa Liba Machoranis. It's interesting, the Rambam cites these very same sukkim in Parag Vav of Hilchus Tshuva, and he understands that these sukkim indicate that on occasion, like with respect to Paro, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does take away Bechira. But the perhaps simple reading of the Gemara, at least the way Reb Tzaddok is understanding this Gemara, is that these psukim are more broadly speaking. Now, do these psukim imply that we have no free will? So Reb Tzaddok says absolutely not. We do have free will. Free will is absolute, it's true, and it's true, though, from one perspective. And to explain this, he quotes the Ari, really summarizes the Ari, the text of the Ari, as you saw below, is below in the footnote, but we'll just read his summary. Uketam yediu bechira, shabir ha'arizal besof sefer arba meo shekel kasef, sheshneim emes, kol echad bimakom bifnei atzmo. So we have yediyah, and we have bechira. And they're both emes, each one from a different place. Bimakom bechira, sham ein makom liyediyah. Uvimakom liyediyah, sham ein makom lebechira. From the place of yediyah, yediyah sashem, divine foreknowledge, there is no bechira. From the place of bechira, there is no yediyah. Ukshemasig leor zeh, when a person appreciates this, hatsum, incredible idea. As Shavu calls Donosav, Bilti Yotz Imme Omek Yediyas Hashem Yisborach Vehu V'Da'ato Ritzono HaKol Achad. And that's what Tshuva Me'av is. So Reb Tzaddok here is using this Ari to resolve the contradiction between divine foreknowledge and free will. And it's different than the approaches we saw last week. Last week, whether the Mahalich of Rasad Yagon and Rivash or the Rambam or others. So we saw a number of thinkers who said that free will and foreknowledge are in fact compatible. How? However, we explained last time. There's no logical inconsistency, or they relate to the distinction between divine knowledge versus human knowledge, Ayin Sham. But they're both true. And in fact, they're compatible. That was one mahalich. Another mahalich, which we at least were merames to last time, was that in fact there is a contradiction, and somehow or another you have to limit one of those two notions. If Ralbag minimizes Yadia, we saw maybe that's the view of Rashi and the Raivid and the Shla, and some say Ramban, and others, like Rabbeinu Kreskes, perhaps limit Bechira to solve the problem. But Tzaddok doesn't fall into either of the camps. He says they're both true, but not compatible. How is that possible? So let's explain. So the first thing he says is they're both true, though they're true on different planes. What are the different planes? So we saw in the Ari that it's referring to the different levels of the world. In the world of Sod, so we could divide the universe into Atzilus, Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya, sometimes known as Abia, like Abia Rinanos. What does this mean? The world of Atzilus is sometimes translated as emanation, as in the pasuk Vayered Hashem ba'anan Vaydaber Elav Vayetzal min haruach Asher Allah Vayitein al shivimish. Atzilus, some say, also relates to the word Eitzel, because it's close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the world of Atzilus, while not reflecting God's actual essence, God's actual essence is something that's totally beyond our ability to relate to or understand. These four olamos are the olamos that we could at least theoretically relate to, perceive HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the way in which he manifests himself in these four worlds. But the world of Atzilus is the one that is closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in so far as there are the fewest contradictions to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does that mean? Let's say the world of Asiya. So in the world of Asiya, there are the most contradictions to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What do we mean by contradiction? Obviously, there's no contradictions to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But when we look at the world, we see things that contradict HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence and power and compassion and the like. We see the wicked suffer, the wicked prosper. We see the righteous suffer. We look outside and we see this innocent child who's sick with a disease. We see Rishayim trample upon Tzadikim. In the lower worlds, there are many things that would seem to contradict God's existence and his power and his compassion. Now, the emphasis is that they don't, as we've discussed from many perspectives throughout this month. But certainly, superficially, they do. And one such thing is actually Bechira. Because Bechira would seem to contradict Yediya, as we've seen. Since, at least superficially, they're incompatible. And we perceive Bechira in this world, which would imply, which would seem to be a stira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's being a Kol Yachol, of his having that Yediya. And there are many powers, many things that contradict, or again, seem to contradict HaKadosh Baruch Hu's. In ancient times, it might have been Kishuf, which is, as the Gemara says, Mechashvin Pamalya Shalmala, contradicts God's plan in the world. Oh. The closer we get, Kaviyachol to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we rise in the Olamos, so the fewer contradictions. So in the world of Atzilus, the Ari says, there are fewer contradictions. And returning to the one that we're focusing on today, Yediya versus Bechira, so the Ari says, Taka, in the Olam Atzilus, there is Yediya, but not Bechira. So Reb Tzaddok is saying that from our perspective, we don't really occupy, we don't really, normally, most of us, I don't know, maybe some of you are different, but most of us don't live in the world of Atzilus. And therefore, from our perspective, from our consciousness and our experience, we have freedom. And in that sense, there isn't Yediya. B'makom Bechira, sorry, there isn't Yediya. B'makom Bechira, Bari says, there's no Yediya. But if a person can internalize the truth of Ein Od Novado and tap into that world of Atzilus, in which they recognize that there is nothing at all besides Ratzon Hashem, the pristine level of Tshuva Me'ava, so then, first of all, there's donos will be zchuyos, because everything is equally Ratzon Hashem. But B, in a certain sense from that perspective, they live in a world without Bechira. Let's read on a little bit. Obviously, again, these are very difficult ideas. U'me'achar she'Hashem Yisbarach, again, continuing on Reb Tzaddok, U'me'achar she'Hashem Yisbarach ratzakein, harei hakol zchuyos v'zocha l'kapar gemura sh'biyom ha'kipurim. She'ze sod asir ha'mishtaleach, she'ilu aso ha'adam atzmo, ha'yoved avodizar gamor, v'hulo yia, she'hu yisod kol ha'mitzvos lo sa'asei, v'chol ha'veros, v'ha'asaros, me'ratzon Hashem Yisbarach. Rak, she'asir hu al yedei ratzon Hashem Yisbarach, she'hu mitzuve l'sholcha lo, nase od mitzva v'lo avera. Reb Tzaddok says that with this idea we could explain the avoda of the Siyar Mishtaleach, which is one of the most baffling and mysterious avodos and mitzvos in the entire Torah. Because the Ramban says that any other time besides Yom HaKippurim, the avoda of the Siyar Mishtaleach would be absolute avoda zara, which is the yesod of all averos and all ra. As we'll see in a moment, he's being merames to Chazal tell us that the Sir Sham Mishtaleach is almost like a karban to Azazel. Ramban famously explains that this is the Yesod. Other Rishonim as well. And a karban to another force, seemingly a force for evil, that's dualism. That's Avodah Zarah Gemura. That's Hepech Kol HaTorah Kula. And then all of a sudden it becomes the Avodah on Yom Kippur? What's going on here? So what's the Yesod? The Yesod, he says, is that on Yom Kippurim, we try to tap into that perspective of Atzilus, in which we recognize that there is, in fact, nothing besides him. Ein od milvado. Even those forces that perhaps the rest of the year appear to be forces of evil, kochos like Shadim and the like, are in fact Ratzon Hashem. Because, from the perspective of Atzilus, everything is Ratzon Hashem. These kochos are his dependent agents. The Sama'el, to whom we offer the Seir, is also an Eved of Hashem. Though it's sometimes something that's very hard for us to recognize. Usually we see the Yetzer Hara as a koach that's keneged Hashem. Yom Kippur, we can appreciate that there's no such thing as a koach that's keneged Hashem, that even the Yetzer Hara, even Samael, even Satan, are all part of Ratzon Hashem. Because we're trying to reach that madrega of Einod Mulvada. We're trying to reach that madrega where we recognize that there is nothing besides Ratzon Hashem. So we incorporate Samael into our avoda on Yom HaKippurim. We'll read the Ramban in a couple minutes. Bezrus Hashem, and we'll see how the Ramban puts this idea. But that's the Yesod of Avodas Yom HaKippurim, to tap into the koach of Atzilus and to recognize that all the evil that seems to exist are merely illusions. And perhaps the perspective that we have throughout the year is false. Now, to be sure, this isn't a sustainable madrega. And that's why the rest of the year, this constitutes Avodah Zarah. Because we can't live in the world of Atzilus. We live in our world. We live in the world of Bechira, not in the world of Yediyah. So, from this perspective, do we have free will or don't we have free will? The answer for Tzadok, in a sense, is both yes and no. On one plane of reality, free will is real. But in a higher and truer sense, we do lack the freedom. And this brings us to the point that perhaps in a certain sense we can't really resolve this. Take a look. He puts it a little differently, but I think it's helpful. In another work, it's called the Divrei Sofrim, which is a top of page 101. V'zehu soda yediyah v'abechira shetiretz bo harizal. We just read. Derata lomar mamish teretz harambam. She'en yediyaso ki yediyaso. En yediyaseno ki yediyaso. The Reb Tzadok, I don't know if this is the Pashup Shad in the Rambam, but understands that this is actually the Rambam's Yisod, in terms of being mechalik between Yediyas Hashem versus our Yediyah, and it thereby resolving the contradiction. The Reb Tzadok does this frequently. And the truth is, though, I will certainly concede that it's not the Pashup Shad in the Rambam, when you look at Reb Tzadok's readings of the Rambam, for example, this one, or the way he explains the Rambam's Mahalach on Karbanos and the like, it actually brings out, even if you don't fully endorse his Mahalach in the Rambam, incredible depth and profundity within the Rambam, but I guess that's for another time. L'yediyas Hashem Yisborach, ein bechira, makcheshes klal. Again, from the perspective of Yediyas Hashem, bechira isn't makchesh klal. Afal pi shehi hepech hayediyah. The efshel lebeis hafachim benose echad. In other words, taka, there's a stira. There's a stira. He disagrees with Sadia Gaon. There is logical incompatibility between yediyah and bechira. But zehu legabenu, that's from our perspective. Of legabi Hashem yisbarach efshar. Dechein legabenu habechira legabi Hashem yisbarach hayediyu ve'emes legabi Hashem yisbarach ein makom lebechira. He's merames to a very interesting idea, an idea that you see in a number of Hasidic thinkers. The Maral says it, and other Rishonim perhaps as well. An interesting question, we alluded to this last time, which is God bound by logic? Can God do something that's logically incompatible? And we saw last time that a number of Rishonim say he can't. The Rambam in Mor Nevuchim, there's a Tshuva Sarashba where he says this. Chazon Ish says it in the Emunah Bitachon, in the parts that are missing from the regular sections, and others. And we pointed out last week, this isn't a contradiction to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's being called Yachol. When we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu's called Yachol, he's omnipotent. It doesn't mean he could do anything. It means he could do anything conceivably possible. But clearly there are things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't do. He can't destroy himself, for example, because he necessarily exists. So, and that's what we saw last week, how some Rishonim are willing to say perhaps Hashem doesn't have absolute yediyah, he doesn't have absolute foreknowledge, because insofar as foreknowledge contradicts freedom, so to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu lacks foreknowledge isn't in any way a deficiency. But the approach of the Maral and others, including Reb Tzadok, is not that way. Reb Tzadok says, Ma pito, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created everything, including logic. And therefore, even if it is true that free will and foreknowledge are incompatible, that's from our perspective, but not from his. So both are true. In a sense, they're compatible, but not logically compatible. Now, what is Reb Tzadok saying? It's not so clear. The truth is that when you read the first piece we saw from Reb Tzadok in Tzidkas HaTzadik, you get the impression that in a certain sense, we don't really have Bechira. Yes, from our world, in our world, and from our perspective, we do, but from a deeper reality, we don't. Here, in the later piece that we saw in Divrei Sofim, he's interpreting the same passage from the Ari, but he's saying it as saying that they're both equally true, though not logically compatible. First perspective, in a certain sense, Reb Tzadok is closer to Rabbeinu Kreskes. In the second perspective, he's closer to the more conventional answers. But I'd like to focus not on that point, but on a, I think, a more basic and fundamental issue with Reb Tzadok, which is that Reb Tzadok's theory, as we alluded to earlier, opens the doors for a person to deny responsibility. Person could say, it's not me, everything is Ratzon Hashem, I don't really even have free will at all. Rav Kook, when presenting this idea of Reb Tzadok, he doesn't quote him, but he presents the idea, addresses this issue, and the truth is, we'll see, Reb Tzadok says the same thing as well. This is in Orot HaTshuva, which is on page 101. Echad miyisodos b'machshavto shel ha'adam, hu hakaras ha'achrayos shel ha'adam al ma'asav. We all know that the linchpin of all avodas Hashem, and certainly tshuva, is accepting responsibility. If a person does not accept responsibility, then they'll never change. Sheba mitoch emunas habechira chafsha shel adam. And Rav Kook adds that responsibility stems from our acknowledging our own freedom. If we're not free, we are in fact not responsible. Uvizel mevarich mevar l'atmo as chofesh ritzono va'otzem yecholto al sidre chayav u'ma'asov. Umitoch kach hu mifane lefanav es haderech lashuv el Hashem. L'chadish es chayav b'seder atov. And thus, the basis, the root of tshuva is the acceptance of responsibility. Ve'acharei hayedia habechira. Shehasheela al dvar shnei hafachim b'nosei achad hi rak tchuna yachasit lanu. Here you see Rav Kook alluding to the idea that we just said, that the notion of two opposites, the law of contradictions, is only from our perspective. Legabe sichlenu hamugbal, from our limited seichel, ve'ena shayach es klal b'chok borei kol, but not at all shayach to God. Adon kol chukim, who in fact is the creator of all laws, and therefore not bound by his own laws. The sibas kol hasibos, mekor hachachma uvon hatfuna baruchu. Hinenu nechonim lehavin sheyesh makom gam lehashkafa shel bechiraso shel hadam v'chofsho v'gam le'ibechiraso v'ichofsho. So we see that it's possible for us to both be free and not free. Anything's possible when anything is possible. V'advarim nimshachim mikol hazramim shebehavayim ach kozman. So here Rav Kook is addressing the question we asked on Reb Tzadok. Until you have done that tshuva, lo sider lo es orchos tshuvaso, harei hu munach tachas hasevel shel bechiraso, v'ashama shel kol ma'asav. He is burdened under the yoke of his bechira and the guilt of his actions. And therefore all of their results are upon him. Amnam acharei ha'aras ha'tshuva miyad nimsarim lemafreya kol ha'migra'o shebechaya. But once he has appreciated that or ha'tshuva, once he has repented, once he has taken responsibility for his actions, then lemafreya, retroactively, they're all not his actions. They're all Ratzon Hashem. V'chol ha'masim shelegabei erko shel adam enem tovim, all the things that seem to be so bad, v'totosav, v'totosein hein maros lo, l'rishus gavoi ki'ilu hands them over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'kulam ne'erachin mi'chutz li'yisod chovsho b'chira. So they're now, after having done tshuva, they're not b'chlal his b'chira. When I sin, did I sin volitionally? Did I sin freely? Until I did tshuva, yes. After I've done tshuva, no. Because they're all Ratzon Hashem. Umitz darfim heim l'rishus ha-hanhaga ha-alyona. Post tshuva, they're all part of hanhaga ha-alyona. The yisod of Einod Milvado. They're all Hashem. Everything is Ratzon Hashem. Everything is rishus gavoa. Asher kol ma'aseinu pa'alta. In other words, until a person has repented, it is not true that everything is Ratzon Hashem. At that point, he has to take responsibility. The recognition that everything is Ratzon Hashem is post-tshuva. So tshuva is predicated upon the acceptance of responsibility, just like the Rambam says. How do you do tshuva? You learn Hilchos Tshuva in the Rambam. You need Charata, Naziva Sachet, and Kabbalah Lavan alike. But after you've done all that, a person can appreciate that in fact it wasn't him who sinned. And the truth is that Reb Tzadok says the same thing. This isn't against Reb Tzadok. Some people see this passage in Rav Kook as a tikkun on Reb Tzadok, but it's not. Reb Tzadok says the same thing. You see that? I think it's in Kasa Tzadok, but if you want to see it more clearly, take a look at the next source from Pri Tzadok, from Reb Tzadok. He's saying over a vart here from the Baal Shem Tov. Misha ba l'nasos ishta, v'nidme la l'rav ha'chovel, v'tafso pito sa v'lo ratzisolo, ad she'ansa l'srates lo. A person decides to test his wife. So he makes himself appear like a pirate, and he grabs her, and he entices her, and she refuses until he rapes her, forces her. Achar kach basay lov v'shivron leiv. Then she comes to him with a broken heart. V'gilsa lo hadavar. She says what she did. Amar la baila. Now her husband says to her, Anochi hayis. He was me the whole time. Umi olam lo zanisim acher. You didn't sleep with someone else. Kain yivarer Hashem yizbarach chate Yisrael. Shakol hayal pi Hashem yizbarach. So what's he saying? He's saying the same thing as Rav Kook. At the time of the chet, taka, it's not our husband. But after we come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'shivron leiv, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, yeah, it was all me the whole time. Now, this is still something that's very hard to understand. If anybody wants to reject this, I think they can. But let's try to understand it a little better by going to that Ramban that Reb Tzadok invokes about the Seir Lazazel, because I think it'll help us appreciate it. And then we'll see an idea from the Nefesh HaChayim, who I think also reflects this idea, and then I guess we'll probably be out of time. So let's talk a little bit about the Seir Lazazel. Right? The Pasuk says, V'asair asher la alav hagorau la'azazel. So what does Azazel mean? So take a look at page 102. Rashi says that Azazel is a mountain, a remote place, a cliff. So the Pasuk, Alpi Pshat, says you take the goat to a hard and rocky place. Ibn Ezra says something very interesting. Im yachalta lavin asod shehu achar milas azazel teda sodo v'sod shelo. Ibn Ezra says there's a sod here. You want to understand the sod? Ki yesh l'chaverim b'mikra v'ani agal alocha k'tzas asod b'remez b'yoscha ben shloshim v'shalosh teda enu. So I can't really tell you the secret, Ibn Ezra says. You're not allowed to be magal asod e Torah, but when you're 33, I'll tell you what it is. So none of you are 33, just me. So what he means here is, he's saying, count ahead 33 psukim, and you'll understand. So let's count ahead 33 psukim. Ah, this pasuk, the bottom of the page. V'lo yizbuchu od ezivcheihem la'si'irim asher hein zonim achareihem, chukas olam tiyazos lahem l'dorosan. This is a pasuk that's talking about the si'irim. So the Seir Lazazel relates to the Seirim. This is the Avoda of the Shadim. Well, what is he talking about? So this idea already comes from Chazal. It's in Pirkei Rebbe Eliezer, top of page 103. Amar Samal of Ne'akadosh Baruch Hu. It starts in a second, you'll see. Ribono Shel Olam. Kol Ovdei Kochavim Nasata Li Rishos. Val Yisrael, ein atanos in li rishos, amr lo. So Samal complains to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you don't give me control over Yisrael. Amr lo, hare yesh lecha rishos aleim biyom ha-kipurim, im yesh lam chet. Hashem says, taka, I will give you rishos over bnei Yisrael in yom kipurim, if they have a chet. Vim lav, ein lecha rishos aleim. Lefikach, this is where it's bolded, middle of the page again, the source of 103. Lefika nosnim lo shochad biyom kippurim. So what is the Seir Lazazel? What is the avod of the Seir Lazazel? It's shochad to Samael. Because otherwise, the results would be disastrous. Shalo levatel karbana shel Yisrael. Shenamar goral echad la Hashem, goral echad la Azazel. Goralo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu karban olam. Goralo shel Azazel, se'ir achatas. V'chol avonosem shel Yisrael, alav shenamar v'nasa se'ir es kol avonosam. Ra'as amal shelo nimza bem chet b'yom ha-kipurim, amel lefanem yivonu shel olam, yesh lecha am echad ba'aretz, kemalachai asharis ba'shamayim. Ma malachai asharis nekim mikol chet, af Yisrael nekim mikol chet b'yom ha-kipurim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu shomei edusin shalos. Yisrael, Mina kategor shalom, meaning samal umechaper al hamizbeach ve al hamikdash ve al kohanim al kol ha'amakam. Wow. So the Rav in Al Tshuva writes about this perspective of Chazal and the Ramban and the like. Just quote you one little passage. According to Ramban, Azazel is Satan. This is a shocking idea. God help us. How could Ramban even suggest such a thing? Surely, to sacrifice a goat to Satan is idolatry? This is a horrific explanation of the word Azazel. So, Taka. What's going on? So let's look at the Ramban. Bottom of the page, 103. V'zeh sod ha'inyan. Ki hayu ovdim le'elohim achirim. Hema malachim, osim lem korbanos, vehem lem reach, nichoach inin shenemar, vishamani vikatan, vikatarti, nasati, ktorasi, sorry, shimni ktorasi, nasata lefneim. Velachmi asher nasati lecha, solas vishamen vidvash, hachalticha vinasatihu, lefneim lereach, nichoach, vihino mashem elokim. Vata tsarich lizbonin, vikasuv uvnesiris. Right, we know that Avodah Zarah is Ramban tell us, Pasuk in Yechezkel, here he quotes, that Avodah Zarah is the serving of Malachim. And Ramban tells us in many places that Avodah Zarah is not absolute narishkeit. It's wrong. But there's something behind it. It's trying to tap into certain forces, spiritual forces that actually, and use them in a predictable and helpful way. If you look even the way the Ramban explains the Egel Azov, we'll maybe elaborate on that in a minute. What is a Vodazar? Vodazar is absolutely Aser. And it's wrong. But there's something to it. V'hinei HaTorah, that's why such great people were Nichshel in Avodah Zarah. But again, we'll get there. V'hinei HaTorah asra legamri kabalas elohusam v'chol avodah lema. The Torah absolutely forbade any type of avodah to malachim. Aval tziva kodesh baruch hu maybe. Aval tziva kodesh baruch hu v'yom ha-kipurim shenishlach se'ir b'midbar l'sar ha-moshel b'mekomas ha-chorban. Kodesh Baruch Hu commanded us on Yom HaKippurim to send a Seir in the Midbar to the Sar. The Sar is the Malach, the spiritual forces. All the nations have spiritual forces that control them in the world, like the Sar Shel Esav. Right. And in the Midbar, which is the Makom HaChorban, the Hu Harawi lo mipnei shehu ba'alav, because he has the bailim on that place and on that koach. Umeatzilos kocho yavo chorei b'shmamon, and from that kochos, from the emanation of his strength, so comes the forces of chorei b'shmamon. Kihu ha'ila l'koch v'acherev, he is the source of the kochavim of cherev, of destruction, of war, v'adamim, in blood, v'amilchamos, v'amirivos, v'apitzayim, v'amakos, v'apirud, v'achorban. V'aklau nefesh l'galgal madim, right? Mars, that's why it's red. V'chelko min ha'umos hu esav. In other words, these kochos manifest themselves in different places. So among the planet, it's Mars, among the nations, it's Esav, in terms of places in the world, it's the Midbar, Esav, Shua Yoresh, Acher, Vamilchama. Umina Behemos, Hasirim, Vaizim. What Behemos Shaykh to that Koach? Goats. Like the Ibn Ezra's Merames too. Uvechelko, Od Hashedim, Anikrim, Mazikim, Belashan Arbosayno. That's what Chazal referred to as Mazikim. Uvelashan Akasov, Seirim. In other words, the term Seirim in scripture is what Chazal referred to as Mazikim. Kichem Yikrahu, Umaso Seir. And that's why Esav is referred to as Seir. So, Satan is the angel of God. He's an angel, like every other angel. And he has a job. His job is to be the accuser. It's to be the mekatreg in the heavenly court. We see this, for example, as we talked about a couple of times ago in the book of Iyov, where Satan is mekatreg. Right? The Gemara in Bava Basra, you have it over here, page 104. Amar B'Yitzchak, Kasha Tzaro Shel Satan Yoser Mishel Iyov. The pain of Satan was greater than that of Iyov. And later on in that piece, towards the end, Amar Blevi, Satan Upinina L'shem Shamayim Niskavnu. The Satan is Miskaven L'shem Shamayim. Meaning to say, on the one hand, Ramban associates Satan with the forces of evil, war, destruction. And as we saw, this force takes on different guises. In the earth, it's associated with desert. In the celestial realm, with Mars. In the angelic realm, with Samael. The Zohar calls it the Sitra Achra, the other side, meaning the first side is Kedusha. But none of this is independent power. And that's the important thing to recognize. When the nations of the world are over the Avodah Zarah, they're worshipping real things, really powerful things, but things that are not independent. The Ramban explains this. On the Pesukim in Dvarim Perek Dalet, on the Pasuk, that Asher Chalak Lahem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Cholek these powers to the nations of the world, but not to us, explains this idea. So none of these forces have any real autonomy. Right? Back to the Ramban. Ve'ena kavana b'seira mishtaleach she'yia karba me'itanu elav chalila. Aval she Tiye kavanaso lasos ritzon bo'enu shetzivanu kach. So this idea of Seir Lazazel is not as horrific as seems at first. It's not the pshat we're giving a karban to Azazel. Chas v'shem. Rather, it's to do Ratzon Hashem. V'amasho b'zeh Right? Like you have a steward or a servant who gives out the prizes based off of the instructions of the Adon. V'shamer ze mitzvahs, so v'asal l'chvod ha'adon asher tzivahu. V'amnam adon l'chem laso al ba'al ha'suda, ratza shiyu kol avadav nanin mimena, shiyisaper b'shvacho v'lo b'gnuso. And therefore, on Yom Kippur, we include everybody, including Satan, at Hashem's feast. And that's the avoda. So this is what Reb Tzadok is telling us. Aliba de MS, Samael, Satan, Mars, all these things are avadim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like everyone else. From the perspective that we have the rest of the year, it's very hard to see that. We see them as forces of evil. But in Yom Kippur, our goal is to reach a madrega where we can recognize, where we could be makir, that ein od milvato. And therefore we include Samael in our Avodas Hashem. Because that's what tshuva is all about. At least the highest level of tshuva, like Reb Tzadok said. Recognizing that there is nothing besides him. Now this topic relates to a very interesting and additional topic, which I hope to talk to you about today, but I see we won't be able to, which is whether evil really exists, whether darkness really exists. I was hoping to do the Rambam with you on the pasuk of Yotzer Or Vorei Choshech, Oseh Shalom Uvorei Es Hara. What does Borei Es Hara mean? The approach of Ramban and the Mekubalim versus the approach of the Rambam. But we don't have time. But maybe in the oven, you'll understand where I'm getting to. I'd just like to maybe conclude with one yesod, just to perhaps make this, I guess, a little more practical to us in terms of how we live our lives. This idea is a very esoteric. And that's the Gemara. It's a Gemara you're all familiar with. Turn back to page 101. Gemara in Sanhedrin. Daf Samach Zayin, it appears elsewhere as well. Ein od Movado, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Afilu Dvar Kshafim. Hahi Issa Davis Kamehadra, Lemishkal Afra, Mitusei, Kared Rabbi Chanina. So there was a Mechashefa who tried to get Rabbi Chanina. Amar La, Imistayas, Zili Avidi, give me your best shot, he says. Ainod milvado ksiv. There's nothing besides a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Eini v'amar b'yoychanan v'ama nikra sh'man mechashvin shemechashvin pamal yishal ma'ala. What do you mean? Kishuf mechashvin pamal yishal ma'ala. The Gemara tells us that even most of the Amoraim would take certain precautions so as not to be harmed by mechashvin. And Rabbi Chanina answered, no. Or Gemara answers, no. Shani Rabbi Chanina did nafesh chusei. Oh. So this doesn't mean, the Nefesh HaChaim explains, you could read it, that means Rabbi Chanina was be'etzem a bigger tzaddik, and therefore Mechashvim had no koach over him. It means something else. It means that Rabbi Chanina understood what Ein Od Milvado is. That be'etzem, there are no kochos to anything else besides a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That even the kochos that Mechashvim try to tap into, those too are from Hashem Yisbarach. And if a person has that realization, so then evil and kishuf can have no power or shlita over them, because in reality they don't exist. But the Gemara clearly tells us that's an extraordinary madrega. Even other Amoraim were not at that madrega, and therefore they taka had to take precautions against Mechashvim. Because if a person does not really believe Ein Od Milvado, it's not something that they've internalized, they still live their lives with a behavior that reflects the belief that there are other things. They don't live in that Olam Hatzilus. So then, Taka, Mechashvim could have koach over them. And other people can. Here the Nefesh HaChaim refers to the famous skula. We all know the stories of the Brisker Rav during the Holocaust and the like. That if someone, Taka, tries to and succeeds in, as we said before in Reb Tzadok, this is not an easy thing, but can really believe and live their life with that awareness of Ein Od Milvado, so then nobody can have any power to harm them. But it has to be real. It's not just singing the song. It's like we said before from Reb Tzadok. Tshuva Me'ava is an extraordinarily high madrega. A person can't just do averis the whole year and then come Yom Kippur and say, ah, Sir La'azazel, Ein Od Milvado, Olam Hatzilos, everything is Rasan Hashem, poof, Nasu Schuyos. But it's true. But it's true. All right. So we have to stop here. I'll take your questions, but Rez Hashem will pick up next week.
So how does Rav Soloveitchik, he seems to be very opposed to this.
He gives another approach to explain the Ramban, Hashem.